down the streets before. But the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I, seven stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live.
Greetings, Afro Posse, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Afro Hold Nothing Posse.
In Spain, stay plainly on the plane. No, in Spain, stay plainly on the plane.
Wonderful. With your host,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
It's going to be that kind of day.
Musical theater all.
Woo!
So, what are we drinking here, James?
What are we drinking, James?
This,
he left the bottle over there.
Of course.
Thankfully, it's within arm's reach.
I mean, how could you not be prepared? You knew when we were going to start.
God damn it.
Thanks. So, I originally found this gin because the bottle that it was in, the bottle that it's in right now, this second bottle that I purchased is still quite lovely, but the bottle that I had purchased was a beautiful white crockery with blue florets.
You're a white crockery.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
I mean,
salsa's
a white crockery.
Yeah.
No, this is completely accurate.
Yeah.
No,
this is Drumshanbow Slow Distilled Gunpowder Irish Gin. It is 43% alcohol from the curious mind of P.J. Rigney, but it's botanicals with gunpowder tea. And so I encourage us to give this a try. Some lawn chairs.
Oh, that smells like gin. Oh,
weird. It's got a lovely aroma.
Oh. Oh, God.
There's a...
I can do this. Oh, God. Ew.
And that is why Jenna has another drink option, and why Salsa and I are having...
Oh, my God.
Yes. Gin and tonics.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Not okay.
Oh, that is delightful.
God.
It's got a very fresh, like...
Yeah, bright floral.
Bright floral, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
With kind of legitimately a gunpowder tea aftertaste.
Yeah. No, very, very, very flowery. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's delightful. Where did you get
gin
this?
Out of my mouth.
Can you get this in a local store somewhere, or is this something
I got
that you
mine
gotta...
at Hum's Liquor.
Okay, so it's something you can find.
Yeah.
You don't need to know a guy to.
It always helps to know a guy, but not for this. Mm. You don't need to.
Mm.
Isn't that great?
No, it is still assaulting me.
The closest I can think of is the gin that I brought back from Baraboo.
Okay, yeah,
that prairie gin with the botanicals in it. It has that same floral freshness.
And this has, but it's also got like a clove undertone to
not
it.
Not super junipery. It's more of that. More of that.
Oh, Jenna's going to disagree.
I disagree.
Yeah, but, it's.
I'm going to, and I will.
Sure.
I disagree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
No. Do so. But it definitely has more of that botanical as opposed to that like just straight nothing but juniper. delightful.
Sure.
Where is this made?
I gather Ireland. No, it's...
Well, it says Irish gin, but it also says,
here at
like...
the edge of a lake in a shed in a small Irish town, the ordinary is made extraordinary.
Yeah.
Within is the laboratory of Rigney, boundary-pushing begetter of handmade spirits with slow-distilled gin, nature's finest oriental botanicals and gunpowder tea.
Okay. It does say product of Ireland. Well,
it had
like Chinese characters on the label, and I was like, why is that?
Because it's gunpowder tea. But yeah, I like the here at the edge of a lake in a shed in a small Irish town, there is a hole, and in that hole there's some fucking gin. Yeah. And in the prettiest gin.
On the tree and the branch and the branch and the log and the log and the limb and the limb and the tree and the tree and the hole and the hole. Down in the gin distillery.
Right. Your brother-in-law sang that song a couple months back at a show. Because it was requested.
Oh, okay.
It was actually St. Patrick's Day, but it was requested, and he got so far, and everybody was cheering, and the band was like, oh, fucking make it stop.
The one that...
the dad jokest song, Albuquerque.
No, the one that, like, when Greg was still in the band... They used to do Brown Bowl.
Yep.
And they don't anymore, because with Greg gone, there was no real, like, anybody pushing to sing that song. But if you get Greg and Scott together, they'll do a rendition of Brown Bowl that is fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that's one we used to sing at Irish Cottage occasionally, too. Oh, so, sure. Now it's all going through my head. Mm. And I have to go start measuring things soon. But
good luck to the barley mow. Jolly good luck to the brown mow. Good luck to the barley
mow. What?
Speaking of measuring things.
Oh, shit.
Kind of. Remember?
Get them out.
Do you remember? Over a month ago. A month and a half ago. No, there's not enough there to measure, you guys. So,
she means not enough time to get them out.
You can measure depth as well as length, Jenna.
We're not thinking about it.
So anyway, month and a half ago. Don't think about it.
James is thinking about it.
I went up north with Salsa's wife.
Oh, for sure.
And we did things.
Yeah.
And I got stuff.
Ah.
So I found these ones and I thought they were adorable. They're all three the same, but guess what they are?
They are figurines of the Buddha.
Wristwatches.
The shot glasses!
What a surprise!
This is one of my top ten favorite.
Can you figure out which museum whatever I got this from?
The Duluth Train Museum?
No, it's not the Train Museum. You're adorable. It's the Boat Museum.
I also love the Boat Museum.
The Boat Museum on a boat.
The boot?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
On the boat. Yes.
That's a heck of a deal.
Yeah.
So I got us each wooden. These are wooden.
Wood.
I got you wood. But yeah, they're wooden shot glasses with.
Hey James, Jenna gave me wood.
Yeah, that's
God,
about the right length.
Give me some of that gin. I need to clear my mouth out. No, but for the listeners, these are wooden shot glasses with a little imprint of the William A. Irvin boat that is in the Duluth Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
That is also a boat museum. It's a boat museum on a boat, and it's very meta, and I love it.
It's a good place to have it.
On a boat.
So, yeah, it was very cold and windy the day we went.
Yeah.
Do not recommend. But, yeah. Anyway, that's the presents that I
those
got.
Those are delightful.
Like, more than usual is the problem.
Fair enough.
Like, yeah, so I got those. And then this weekend I've been drinking.
Good.
Excellent.
It's Pride weekend, God damn it.
What a wonderful plan.
So, yeah, I Friday night I did the Pride Block Party at the Bryant Lake.
Mm-hmm,
Pride
mm-hmm.
Block Party, and ran into some friends, and then ran into some more friends.
As one may.
Joe and I started at 5. The party started at 6.
They pre-gamed.
We decided to go to Morrissey's for a quick bite half a block away before they were all set up, and we were like one of the first ones there that weren't setting things up. But yeah, so we did that for several hours. At about 10 o'clock they started trying to kick people out, and we left probably about 10:45. And a bunch of people came back to my place and we after partied. And
did you ply them with the classic line? You want to come back to my place?
Basically, yeah. I was like, if you've had too much to drink, I have places for you to crash. Mm-hmm. If you want more to drink, I also have more boots. Mm-hmm. So wherever you're at.
Well, even, yeah.
In all of this. I got to, this was my daughter's first time really attending a Pride event. And wow. Yeah, she had a few. And because she drove to my place and then walked over, afterwards, she's like, I don't know if I should be driving, which means I shouldn't be driving.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
that's
the correct answer, daughter.
That is absolutely the correct answer.
Yeah, so she crashed in my guest room for a couple of hours and then got up about 1 and went home. She's not much of a loud party person, but, but yeah.
Did she go to the upper floors to see if she could get in some computer gaming?
What?
This is a convergence joke. I'm sorry.
Anyway. Like, I... Look, I know you guys are gonna, like, interrupt me with jokes. I just don't want you to interrupt me with not jokes. Like, that's really the thing.
Your mother and I are disappointed in you, James.
Oh, God. Ew.
Well, I'm not sure which one of you is just catching up to speed, but really, you both should have been disappointed in me for a longer time.
I didn't say we just got there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, thank goodness.
We used to be disappointed. Still used to be disappointed, but we used to be, too.
good.
That is a good joke, James. Take note.
I feel like this panel might be a little biased in general.
Yes. As it should be. Uh-huh. Yeah, so basically, we partied until 4 in the morning.
Delightful.
When I finally went, all right, you motherfuckers, I'm going to pass out. Mm-hmm. Get off my property. And then Joe started walking away, and I'm like, no, come back. You get to stay.
Not you. Someone has to help clean.
Basically. No, we didn't clean that night. We went to bed. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, we had a bar crawl to attend.
Okay.
That started at noon and went until bar close. Joe and I missed the first couple of hours. I was actually up and pretty much ready. Joe was not. But yeah, we did this bar crawl. It's an annual bar crawl that a couple of friends of mine do. And it's usually the same bars with like one or two guest bars. Like, they'll swap a bar out here and there.
Sometimes a celebrity bar will come in for an episode. Yep. Yeah.
A pinch bar.
A low bar. See? Funny.
Oh, yeah.
Have an injury substitute.
So, yeah, we went, we did our basic usual route. The new bar, the substitute bar, the celebrity bar, as you will. Was basically across Loring Park from where we were leaving. And it was Pride weekend.
So it took a while to get there.
It took a while. Well, it took Joe and I the longest to get over there because we kept getting stopped by friends. Mm-hmm. And like,
oh, how weird.
I know.
Trying to get across Fest site.
Yeah. And it's funny because I didn't run into any of the people I expected to run into. But a lot of the people I didn't expect to run into, and I'm like, oh, you're here. Cool. So, yeah, we finally got to the bar, and we had some problems finding it, too, because it was the new bar. So, like, hadn't been there. And we finally get there, and a couple of friends were outside, and they're like, it took you so long. I was like, well, we went through Loring Park. We were attacked by the gays. the other one said, was it delightful? And I was like, it was delightful.
It always is.
So, yeah. Yeah, we did that.
Sounds like a fantastic time.
It was, I think. Joe and I met up with a bar crawl at Brits. We got there a little bit before everybody else did to make sure that we could eat properly and hydrate properly.
Yeah.
You know.
Put in a buffer layer.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Mm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It was lovely. And then, so I made it from Brits to the end of the bar crawl at CC Club. And I ended up leaving. I don't remember exactly what time I left.
But, must have been a good bar crawl.
It was shortly before the rain hit.
Ooh.
And the way I know it was shortly before the rain hit is because I got to the end of the... I got outside and started walking down the block, and, like, as soon as I went past the CC Club, the rain made itself known.
Uh-oh.
Very intently.
Yeah.
And I was walking with a couple other people, and they had umbrellas, and I did not. Joe had actually left the bar before. Mm. He was like, I'm tired. I'm like, you look tired, buddy.
Mm.
So, yeah, he left a few hours before me. Mm-hmm. So I walked with a couple of my friends, and they had umbrellas. I did not. They tried to Venn diagram it, but I ended up just getting a couple of really big drops as opposed to, like, one of them got right in my eye that I couldn't see, and I was like, fuck it, and
that
I started
just
walking.
Yeah.
But then that was worse, because
mm-hmm.
It was coming down hard.
It was clear sky, fucking torrential rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we made it almost two blocks before we pulled off under an awning, and just ordered a lift, which was frustrating because I was literally like five blocks away from my house.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, well, this is happening. So I got home and I opened the door and like, the way my couch is, In my living room area, the back is to the door, so that you're, like, facing the TV and everything that's on the wall across from, kind of, to the side, but across from the door.
Yeah.
I come in, and I look around, and I don't see Joe, but the air is on, so I know he made it back home.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, I really need to pee. And I am soaking. So I'm just taking off clothes as I walk towards the bathroom. I turn the AC off. I go to the bathroom. I come out. I'm like, well, I'm not tired.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to bed yet. So I'll just sit on the couch and play some games. And then I look over at the couch and there's my boyfriend asleep on my couch. And I was like, oh. Oh, and I debated in my head, do I wake him up or do I let him sleep? And I was like, he's not going to want to be there all night. Like, if I'm going to move him, he's had a few hours, now might be the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, hey, baby, how you doing? Maybe you don't want to sleep here all night. And he looks up at me and he looks over and he goes, naked girlfriend. It's like, this is the best way to win.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's
like,
real good.
His brain is in the right place.
And I wasn't even thinking about it. I had just been wet and took everything off. Because So, yeah. So my boyfriend got to wake up to a naked girlfriend. And then we actually hung out for a few hours. He was like, well, I got my nap in. And I'm like, great.
And now I'm awake.
We watched... but yeah, we watched the Ant-Man Quantumania.
Yeah, yeah. The newer one, yeah.
Okay. That's all right.
I haven't seen that one yet.
That's all right. It was kind of sloppy, but I still had a good time.
How much of the movie did you get to see?
Kind of sloppy, but I still had a good
date
time.
Like that.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So many more times than once. but, yeah. So yeah, we did that and we chatted and all the rest of that. But yeah, I that was Saturday, and then Sunday I was hung the fuck over and tired and did basically fuck all.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Except I had already set up with a friend of mine to come take the rest of my mom's bullshit. The rest of those crafts and the rest, all of that. I kept meaning to try to have like a craft swap or a sale thing or something. None of it was working. So it got to be where the emotional load of carrying her little literal baggage was too much for me.
And,
so yeah, a friend came and got it. And now it is out of my house. And now I have, like, a fifth of my basement back. Like, I don't think people understand how much fucking stuff.
Just sheer volume.
Sheer volume of stuff. But, yeah, she took everything, and I was like, have you found the creepy babies yet? And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, there's creepy baby dolls that she crocheted. Dolls, and they are creepy. And then, like, she was like, oh my god, I know exactly who these are going to. And I'm like, I mean,
that's the best possible response.
Right? Like, I'm glad they will find a home. I don't know if the home is glad they'll find a home. But,
start hiding them places.
So, yeah, I did move around some to get that care of, but the rest of my day was like, nope, fuck it. I am now a recovering gay. Like, I just needed a chill day. I did get to wear my rainbow toppers, my super awesome cool rainbow toppers. I'll post a picture in the Discord.
Cool.
Because they're real good. Wore those one night, and then the other, I wore my bisexual toppers that I got from Pear Eyewear. I'm really a fan, and they should pay me money. The end.
Oh.
Okay.
Fair enough.
James?
I went to a Renaissance festival.
Cool.
Yeah. Chippewa.
Sunday at the fencing booth?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was going to say, I did a fencing booth thing on Sunday, but Jenna wasn't there.
Slacker.
Right?
I was busy recovering from having a gay old time. Mm-hmm.
Me too, but I did it in ring one. As per usual. So, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Newborn
Village. I got out there for my first weekend. Otherwise, I would have been at Pride, but Josh was like, everybody else is going to Pride. We won't have enough people.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck it. I've been meaning to do this. I'm going out there. Mm-hmm. So, we had an absolute blockbuster of a Saturday.
Fantastic.
It was amazing. We did not have an opportunity really to leave the booth, and an aerialist had set up immediately outside the booth with the pyramid and the lira.
The rig.
Yeah. And
I think I know who it was.
So that was fucking awesome. Probably.
Do you know carnies?
Weird.
A few.
Right.
So,
but I think I know specifically which one this was.
Yeah.
I know, but okay.
We had a great time, and the booth that's been set up out there is actually pretty great, including the amenity of an air conditioner.
What?
And I want to explain to you the extraordinary luxury of having an air conditioner, because it was fucking broiling hot out there. It was 90 degrees and also humid, and just like I had. It was already raining in my shirt, basically. It was awful. But I got sunburned places.
Got sunburned places? In your cleavage. Well, he pulled the shirt down and showed us. So.
But also my arms and the back of my neck and stuff. And that is in spite of having SPF 70 reapplied several times during the day. Yeah, it was... The weather was angry. The sun was unkind. So, but we had a wild time. And then a couple of my partners were out there, and other people's partners were out there, and it was fucking cool. It was a very cool hangout. And then my partners went home. I stayed in a friend's tent, and as monsoon season began,
sure.
And yep. Then I had like scraped my way onto the bunk of my friend's tent, and I had a book that I was looking forward to reading, and it was 8 p.m. and I was full of Arby's.
Oh, did you just take a nappy nap?
Josh, the booth owner, stops by and he goes, you in there? And I went, yeah. He goes, well, over at the Forge, they've got a bunch of freshly uncorked mead. And somebody brought some cider.
Oh, and
the fairies made a bunch of food. And they're trying to get rid of it. So if you got any space left... I guess I'll catch you over there if I catch you over there. And they wandered off. And I had a serious chat with
myself.
Fucking
drop that microphone in front of you.
I was like, oh, but I had a book. I was gonna sleep.
No, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
No. So about...
It was in that moment he realized.
1 a.m.
Narrator. No, he wasn't.
1 a.m., I'm wandering back through a slightly lighter amount of rain with my umbrella and tucked myself into bed and passed the fuck out, as God intended. So, yeah, had a wild time. Met a lot of really cool people. Told stories, sang songs, had jokes happen. It was great. Tried a scotch that I'm going to get for us here because it was that good.
I do like scotch.
So that'll happen. And then, Sunday, it just was indecisive. Mother Nature was having hot flashes, and just like raining, and then blisteringly hot, and then raining again, mm-hmm. raining again, thunder and lightning, blisteringly
very,
hot,
very, very, very frightening.
Drizzle for 4 hours, yeah.
Mamma mia,
yeah.
Mamma mia.
Here I go again. So the
what? Salsa. Look, I know I made the initial suggestion.
Okay.
But I expect you to be the grumpy ass.
Bear with me on this one.
Okay.
Follow me on this one.
Okay.
What if we say he's still in this trial period?
Do you think we can?
I think we... I mean, it's been a while, but maybe we can squeeze it?
Yeah, like... It's been over 5 years.
I know, but I mean, nobody says a trial period has to end.
It's true.
Certainly not Windsor.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's an awful lot of things that I'm still on a trial period for. Mm-hmm. So,
what was the CD thing when we were younger?
AOL?
Where you could like mail in for like 5 CDs for the price
Columbia
House. Yeah. Where we'd get like 12 CDs for the price of one and then cancel our subscription and then
if you can
do it all over
if
again. Oh yeah. Yeah, we did it so many times.
Well, I it was one of those you had to buy 3.
Yep.
But like you got the 12 for a penny and then you had to buy 3, but then you'd get a couple more for like part price or something if you wanted to. But then, after those 3, you could cancel.
Mm.
Yep.
But then you just resubscribe again.
Yeah, do it all over again.
Who's going to tell you you can't? They don't remember who the fuck you are. So, yeah.
They didn't have computers. No, it was all mail-in, so it's not like they had a database or anything like that.
What's really sad is I did that, but I didn't know what music was, really. Oh. I grew up on, like, Irish folk and classical, so I just got, like, a fuck ton of, like, show tunes, which was the coolest thing I can think of.
We ended up with a lot of, like, Mozart and Beethoven and stuff. Like that because
very first CD was Paul Simon Rhythm of the Saints. So
I think my first CD was Irish drinking songs, but I couldn't even tell you who did it. My first cassette tape.
I know my first cassette.
I also know mine.
But I don't remember my first CD.
My first cassette was Gallo Glass.
Oh.
From Fest. So I have a theme going. Mm-hmm.
My second CD was Green Day Dookie.
I don't remember my first CD, but I bought three cassettes from my older brother.
Oh.
And so my first three cassettes were the Top Gun soundtrack.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
The St. Elmo's Fire soundtrack.
Okay.
Sure.
And Whitesnake.
Wow.
That's that's way cooler than mine.
Yeah.
My first cassette tape.
I don't know. Gallo Glass is pretty dope. Don't Gallo Glass sell is amazing. Gallo Glass dope. Short there.
No.
My first cassette tape was Muppets Greatest Hits.
Adorable.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, it had cute. Moving Right Along, Titwillow,
Manana,
yeah, the Java.
Did it have the Muppaphone, probably?
No. Muppaphone. Grandma's Feather.
Rainbow Connection,
yes, it did. Yeah. Grandma's Feather Bed.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of those things. Yeah,
classic.
But my... Yeah, then I just started buying They Might Be Giants and Weird Al pretty much exclusively. So
sounds like a good decision.
Yeah. That was... And then just had a long fucking drive back from Wisconsin. I did, at one point, stop at a Culver's near a gas station because I was like, I'm going to get a burger on my way home and I'm going to get some...
Culver's is also Nublaris. My post-fest.
Yeah, for food. For Salsa and me. It and if used they have to the cider, I'll me. Get it for... For Jenna, and the lines for everything were Shakopee-like. So I just drove home in the rain and was fine.
Yeah.
This
is my life every summer for the last 5 years.
Well, I'm going out there again next Sunday, but I'm looking forward to it.
I feel bad because I had wanted to do it, and then I had the shoulder issues, which every once in a while I'm still getting a little twinge, and I am super cranky about that because I worked so hard to fix my fucking back for this upcoming season, and I'm still having shoulder issues. And it's the right shoulder, too.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to learn how to fight left-handed.
Who would do that?
Fuck that bullshit.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Oh, God.
I did at one point fence against Josh and I fenced, I want to say, about a dozen times this last weekend. And just, we had all kinds of opportunities to fight each other. But at one point, someone was like, well, if you're worried about him fencing left-handed, switch hands. And I was like, yeah, I'll switch hands too. I'll fight offhand. And Josh was like, no. No, I don't want to. I was like, come on, let's do it. And he's like, no, I'm not going to fight left-handed. No. All right.
But yeah, like the problem is I've been trying to take care of myself, but also since Joe's moving in a couple of 6 weeks. I have a lot to get done. So it's like I've had to kind of like parcel out my energy and my muscle capabilities a lot this past month. And I've been real cranky about it because originally I was talking about going up last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And possibly this Sunday. And none of that was happening. So I'm very sad about it. Do you think the AC unit is going to be able to find its way
I kind of doubt it. We'll see what happens. But I kind of doubt it. It's not mine. So.
I know.
Just, I can't make promises for anybody else's AC units.
Just, you know, I'm just saying, like,
Jenna, if it were my unit, I'd give it to you.
Gross!
Yeah.
Oh, God, I need more gin. Ugh.
Ice cold unit is my all acoustic 90s rap cover album.
No, that's Ice cold unit is a regurgitator remix.
Easy listening guar.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I did some kitchen renovation.
Ooh.
It's nice.
By me, I mean both my wife and I.
Right.
Yeah, the royal me.
Yeah. She sanded and repainted all of our cabinet doors and drawer doors.
Sure.
Fronts.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So now we have the cabinetry is still the same color, but now the doors themselves are like a bright blue.
Fuck, it looks
and they
so good.
Fucking pop.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
And it looks really nice. And then we had, I may have mentioned this before, we had one of those microwaves above the stove.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which I already don't like.
Yeah.
Right.
But the problem was, is because we have, all of the like pipes and electrics and stuff like that go through the ceiling of our kitchen, and so we've got a soffit that like drops the height of the kitchen ceiling a foot already. So all of the cabinets are a foot lower and everything like that, which meant the microwave above the stove was a foot lower, which means you could not stand in front of the stove like at, you know, cooking distance from the stove and see the knobs.
Right.
Because there was a microwave in your face.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably could.
Even you would have had microwave in your face. Like, it was pretty bad. So what you had to do was, like, crouch down and, make your temperature adjustments, and then you could, like, stand up. And like, the light was bad because...
Well, I hate that.
It wasn't happy. And also, the draw fan was shit.
Right.
And so we're just like, we're not going to put up with that anymore. So we removed the microwave, which was, by the way, gi-fucking-huge. There's no reason a microwave needs to be that big. Just replaced it with a regular hood and then took the microwave that we had at our old house, which I've had down here in the laboratory for a while, and that's just our microwave again.
It's been replaced with a Tron recognizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fair trade.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Replaced the backsplash now with some beautiful, colorful tile and stuff like that. It looks so much better in our kitchen. It's just got a lot more color and vibrancy and stuff like that.
Nice.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
In addition to the comparison I made before, it's very Howl's Moving Castle. Like Howl's Room. Or like Arrietty.
I see where you're...
Like Howl's Room?
...coming from, but I don't see it, I guess.
Bright splashes of color intermingled.
I know where you're coming from. It seems like a stretch to me, though.
Okay.
This is the angry Jeep all over again, James.
Yeah.
It's a door.
It's not a ramp, it's a plate.
It's not a ramp, it's break time.
Okay.
I guess we better head.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a break. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. Oh. We're back, by the way.
Oh, shit.
I'm Salsa. Right.
Oh, I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
You sure are.
Oh, I didn't see you there.
Oh, my God.
The Webster's Dictionary defines recording as...
All right. So, yes. I have a tail.
You have a tail?
I do.
Yes, it's vestigial.
Yes.
I was wondering.
I was at work the other day.
Elf audience.
I was at work the other day.
Yes.
The hell you say.
And so we have at work, we use Slack.
Okay.
And we have a Slack channel called Free Food.
Sure.
And it is basically whenever there is, you know, a big catered thing and you're done and there's food left over, you just throw it in there. It's like, hey, on the fifth floor break room, there's a whole bunch of tacos left over. Come,
sure.
You know, just that way food doesn't get thrown away.
Right.
Or if someone, like, orders delivery and then isn't able to make it into work that day. Because...
Oh, sure.
We order food through something called Foodsby. And basically what it is there's a bunch of different restaurants in the area near where you work that all do the thing. But they have a limited access, or a limited amount of stuff they can make.
Sure.
Okay.
At any time. So, like, they'll make X number of orders, and then they'll just, we're done. That's our capacity. And so a lot of people will order food days in advance. Because if you try to order food the same day, they're just going to be full.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
So people will order food and then not make it into work and post in Free Food. They'll be just like, hey, there's a Quiznos sub with my name on it up on the 10th floor. Whatever, you know.
Right.
Literally with their name on it. So... 2 days
they
in a
say
row.
You never hear the Quiznos sub that gets you.
2 days in a row, this happened, where somebody posted in there and said, "Hey, you know, I've got food on, you know, this location at the drop-off point.
Yeah,
it's up for grabs." And somebody in the chat will go dibs, and then we'll come back later and go, "Somebody didn't honor the dibs."
Oh no.
Ooh.
And in one day, this happened. And it was like, oh, okay, this happened. The next day, it happened again.
Holy shit.
And then a conversation ensued about dibs versus first come, first serve. And it became quite the debate.
Okay.
And... people were...
I don't see what there is to debate about that.
People...
they're very clear to me.
I know. It was very obvious to everybody what side they were on.
Okay. Okay.
But there were polls being made. Oh. People were changing the chat description.
Ooh, like, shit.
It was getting real draw. Like, I seriously, at one point, I posted in there, I was just like, who would have known when I woke up this morning that the most drama I would experience today was in the Free Food chat?
Yeah.
And it did. It became very heated.
It's bargain bin succession.
Where people were just like, well, you know, somebody throws it up there, you gotta move fast. And people were like, sometimes you're in the middle of a meeting and you can't move fast, but so you dibs. That's what you do. And so it became this thing. So the question I have is, dibs or first come, first serve?
I have a nuanced answer, so I'm happy to let anybody else go first.
Are you asking about definition, or are you asking about the best way to go about
something? No, I think we all know the definition.
In this circumstance.
I feel like we all know the definition.
I mean, dibs means it's yours.
Yeah, you have called it. You have verbally pissed
first
on it.
First come, first serve means the first person that gets it.
Yes.
That part should be non-negotiable.
The strange thing is...
was it negotiable in your chat? The actual definitions.
The definitions were not up for debate. The debate was very much, which side does this chat now operate on?
Sure, sure.
Because as a project the whole manager, chat needs I to operate to.
On the same. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, why? Absolutely.
To prevent strife such as this.
Yeah.
If everybody's on the same page, then everybody, no, there's not going to be this fight mm-hmm. happening. If it everybody is on
to,
the same
page. You have to codify the system.
Exactly.
See, here's my thing.
Oh.
Okay.
The right. person that is declaring the food available
mm-hmm.
gets to decide for that food if mm-hmm. it's dibs or first come, first okay. serve. But they have to state it.
I think that's...
They have to state which way sure. it goes.
Would there be a default option if no statement is made?
Yeah. The default option is the okay, part so where, yeah,
that is
where
that is what
say.
Needs to be established is the default.
Right, mm-hmm. the default. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with establishing a default, but I feel like if I'm giving up food that I have paid for,
oh, absolutely,
I should be able to decide.
Mm. How,
I know it sounds
so,
very capitalistic.
Trial by
no,
combat.
So basically, what happened here is I came saying we have two choices, and sure. Jenna threw a knife in the middle of the ring and said, "Fight
see,
for
I'm,
it."
I'm going to make it. Yeah, I'm actually going to make it worse.
Are you surprised?
Not
by
at
this
all.
Also?
Not at all.
So
I love it.
As your lawyer,
I have no. No, I have a badger for a lawyer.
That's you've made a better choice.
Yes.
So, one, dibs is in and of itself a system of first come,
this
first serve.
This did come up.
So,
yes.
Yep.
There is that. However, I believe that there is a higher order complexity model that is already available for such circumstances, and that is... shotgun. Okay? The rules for shotgun have...
Oh, God. Okay.
No. But they are codified. There are many places that have contributed different addendae, I guess, and all sort of appendices and things like that. But if you go to a place like theshotgunrules.com, you can read the full rules of it. And usually it is that there is... a time in which shotgun may be called according to specific rules and regulations. The party has to be outside unless it is agreed upon that the structure that the party is within is shotgun eligible, so forth, right? But this is agreed upon ahead of time.
Do I bring a shotgun?
Yeah, I'm still not...
I don't know what shotgun means.
Shotgun for front passenger seat. The calling of shotgun.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that point.
I thought that was universal.
No, we had no idea what you were talking about. Okay, now we know what you're talking about.
Calling shotgun
okay.
for a road trip.
Okay, now we're on the same page.
Okay.
Now, there is one...
Still excited to see how this ties into your thing, but...
And that is, shotgun cannot be called legitimately. Cannot... is invalid if someone... already has their hand on the door or is sitting in the seat. Therefore, if dibs is called after someone has already picked it up, that dibs is invalid. So, it's first come, first serve if you are already standing there as an option. If you're at the food place and someone's like, well, there's a free mac and cheese or something.
Okay, but you wouldn't know it was... up for grabs unless you were sitting at your desk reading the Slack channel.
Or if you have your laptop with you or something.
Or if you have your laptop with you.
Right. But I'm saying that...
James is going to show up to your place of employment with his
laptop
and just stand
at the drop-off
right,
point.
Yeah. Right at the drop-off point.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying if someone is there and can claim it or can go from their desk to there and claim it before dibs is called, that is tantamount to dibs.
That is, but then they first would need, come, first serve.
They would need, correct, they would need to state it after it has been picked up. Whatever the result, whoever picks it up should claim it in chat.
Yes, they should call dibs on it.
Before or after?
Even if they pick it up without calling dibs before picking it up, they should be telling people, I have recovered the sandwich.
But what they have done is they have waited until somebody has called dibs
okay.
and has now left their desk to mm-hmm. walk to the place to pick it up,
right.
found it to be missing, yeah. and has had to come back and been inconvenienced. Whereas yeah. all they would have had to do is type four letters,
or even just after picking it up, saying,
and save somebody
it.
Else
yeah.
the walk.
Yeah. Yeah, the person who is doing this, who is...
calling dibs after you've already picked it up is
not
pointless.
Not calling dibs, but just simply stating...
Calling shotgun. Weren't you paying attention?
You are already sitting shotgun, and it cannot be called.
Right, but at this point, by the time you have picked it up and walked back to your desk to tell everybody, by the way, I already picked it up, in that intervening time, mm-hmm. somebody has gone, oh, dibs... and has left their desk.
Right, but I feel like...
So you have already... It's too late. It is already too late to inconvenience someone.
But I feel like even if the group leaves the restaurant, shotgun rules style, okay? So your tour group leaves the restaurant. Somebody calls shotgun. It appears legitimate, but then they find out that one of your group is sitting shotgun already...
But the, this
that does, invalidates the,
but these
the call.
Are but these are not in parallel because you are not two people or three people moving in a group. It is two people moving from separate points.
Correct.
And you are not inconveniencing somebody because they are still approaching the car. They are still going to sit in the car. It is not them getting to the car, finding out there are no seats left, and having to go back to the house. They still get a seat.
Well, and I presume that whomever is there
all you're doing is
still
getting
food.
No, they're not, because the food is not there anymore.
Right, there isn't that food, but they can hit a cafeteria or something and get different food, or they brought food.
If they brought food, why would they call dibs on the food?
Because it sounds delicious.
Oh my God, James.
I don't know the entirety of the food structure at your place of business, but what I'm saying is if someone picks it up, if someone is there, sees the message, and goes, oh, there's a sandwich, I'll grab
that. There is a drop-off point where catered food is dropped off. If the food that they came there to pick up is not there, they walk away empty-handed.
Yes. I'm saying that if you are in a circumstance where you are physically present, first come, first serve, you should be stating that you picked it up.
Yeah, okay, so here's the difficulties that I'm having. Point the first.
Yes.
What you're arguing is first come, first serve. You're just arguing...
I'm arguing shotgun.
You're
arguing first come, first
you're
serve.
You're arguing first come, first serve.
That is straight up what you're arguing.
Let me finish my thing.
Please do.
Y'all.
By all means.
You are arguing first come, first serve. That person was the first one there. They got it. The part of your argument that is more is letting people know after. That's that you've chosen a side. It's first come, first serve.
Disagree. Hard disagree, because if they see someone has called dibs, that person got there first. Shotgun has been called before they sat in the seat.
No, but in the intervening time, okay, the order of operation is not... leaves desk, picks up food, returns to desk, types I've got the food, somebody else types dibs. That is not the order of operations. The order of operations is leave desk, pick up food, somebody types dibs, also leaves desk to pick up food, A, returns to desk, says I have picked up food, B, returns to desk and has wasted a trip.
I'm saying, in order for them to know. So, Bob goes to pick up Bob's order or is, for some reason, there, right? Okay? Already at the drop-off point. Maybe they're hungry and a vulture, whatever. Scavenging. They have a device that tells them the Slack message. Right?
So
otherwise,
sitting,
they don't know that Jerry's sandwich is up for grabs.
They're sitting at their desk looking at Slack, and Jerry's sandwich is up for grabs.
If they are already at their desk, they should be calling dibs.
Yes, but they're not.
Is what I'm saying.
But they're not.
Correct.
They're
I understand that they
up,
aren't.
Leaving.
Right.
Grabbing
they're,
the food
they're
and coming
being
back.
Completely disrespectful to the people who are calling dibs.
Exactly.
As a
yes.
I understand.
Okay.
I'm not arguing for
okay,
that.
Okay, so what are you arguing?
I'm arguing that if you see
that food is called, and you have a device with you, a laptop, a phone, something that is connected to the Slack.
Yes.
And you see that it's called, and you have the opportunity to just say, oh, I'll also, there's a sandwich for Jerry, and I'm going to grab that. Then you type in, I picked up Jerry's sandwich. I'm already here.
But you're not here. You're at your desk.
But if you aren't already there.
But you are. Here's the problem. Is that 98% of the time,
people are going to be at their desks.
People are going to be at their desks.
In which case, dibs is a legitimate call.
Arguing for a circumstance that is exceptionally unlikely.
I'm just arguing for shotgun rules, which are already codified and celebrated in all 50 states.
Which are a completely different scenario.
I feel like you are...
No, shotgun, you still get a ride.
I'm saying there is precedent.
Shotgun, you still get a sandwich. You still get a sandwich in shotgun. It's not the sandwich you wanted, but you still get a sandwich in shotgun. In this situation, you get no sandwich. You get no seat in the car. You walk to the car.
So here's
the seat is full. This is why I disagree with you.
Hold on.
Please.
If you have a device with you.
Yes.
You're already at the spot.
Yeah.
Right? You have a device with you.
Yeah.
And you see that somebody has said, this is up for grabs. Why are you just not typing dibs first before you grab the sandwich that's 5 feet away from
you? Any number of other circumstances. If you turn and you say, before anyone calls dibs in chat, and you say, I'll take Jerry's sandwich, you're calling dibs at the place where it matters
so
most.
So call dibs.
On the Slack chat.
So call the dibs.
Yeah, if you have the device to see it, you have the 2 seconds to respond.
The only way to find out that the food is up for grabs is to already be there in the Slack channel. It's not like
not
you need
necessarily.
To...
There are all kinds of devices.
No, that is that
if
is
you
the
see
only
that there's
way.
A notification, but you don't have the Slack channel open, if you have a smartwatch like I have, and you see it come across, oh, Jerry's not picking up his sandwich. It's free.
Well, then you're the idiot with a smartwatch. Get yourself a real computer. But that's not the scenario. That's if you're the you're
in the scenario where everyone is sitting.
We
at
are
their
not.
Desks.
We are not going to change.
No.
How the entire structure is for that one dude with a smartwatch.
No.
We're going to structure it for the majority.
I'm saying there is already legal precedent for one situation in which you have...
This is legal precedent now?
Apparently.
No. Don't go throwing words like legal around if you're just bullshit.
There is already codified...
For shotgun, which is not the same thing.
Well, okay, not the so same thing. Everybody's,
not at all.
Everybody's sitting at their fucking desks, all right?
Yes.
Everybody's sitting at their goddamn desks.
Yeah.
If Jerry's sandwich gets picked up by Jerry, does that mean Jerry got in the car and drove the fuck away? No. Everybody has the lunch that they planned or did not plan.
Yeah.
So it's not... So if somebody... Jerry's sandwich, the people who are left are still left with whatever options they had before.
But the one that called dibs had to make an extra trip to the 10th floor and back to his desk.
That's what I'm trying to prevent. That's what I'm saying is inappropriate.
Exactly.
And I'm also saying that if you see somebody called dibs...
And that's the situation that his company is actually talking about.
That is exactly what we're talking about.
And that is also what I'm talking about.
No, you're talking about shotgun, which is not the same thing. It's not.
I'm saying that there is a settled precedent, not a legal precedent, but a settled precedent
for shotgun.
For an object that is contentious...
Right.
For the ownership of temporary ownership of that
object. The difference here is,
yes.
In one case, you still get a consolation prize, and in the other case, you get nothing.
In one case, you get whatever else, and in the other case, you get whatever you had planned otherwise.
But you have made an extra trip.
And I'm saying that... Obeying shotgun rules for
shotgun
this.
Shotgun rules make no. They are
okay.
Shotgun rules do not apply.
Just set it aside. Ignore that. Because apparently, I'm the only person who sees that these overlap. I'm going to say, all right, if everybody's sitting in the same fucking place, everybody's in the Slack chat, or whoever's in the Slack chat yes. has the opportunity to call dibs, the person who calls dibs gets the fucking sandwich. Right.
Exactly.
Now, in the extraordinarily rare circumstance in which Ken has a smartwatch and he sees that Jerry's sandwich is available.
Okay.
If he decides to pick up the sandwich, he must inform the chat that he has picked it up.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I was standing right there. So, I've already grabbed it.
Okay. So are you on dibs or first come?
To save anyone who was getting up from their desk from getting up from their desk, wasting their trip.
I think the difficulty here is that somebody may already be on their way before Ken is able to tell people.
But the other people can go, no, Ken grabbed it.
If they happen to be paying attention.
If they haven't closed out of the channel. And whatever.
Or they're not actually
working.
We're
a company that is spread across 7 floors of a building. We're not all sitting in a pool.
No, you aren't.
No, so how is one person supposed to go, oh, by the way, Ken already grabbed it? Because they're 3 stories away.
But I'm saying that if there is any conceivable scenario in which dibs cannot be called or where it would be inconvenient to call dibs into the chat
before picking up the sandwich. Why would they be at the food pickup area just sitting around waiting for the Slack channel to come through?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they went to a bathroom that's nearby there. Maybe they were picking up other food. Maybe. I have no idea. But in the circumstances.
I love how I was the one that apparently dropped a knife, but here we are way far away from...
Well, no, that's because James started talking about shotgun. And that
I am saying that those rules overlap. If someone is already sitting there, you can't call dibs and have it be legitimate.
So you're on the first come, first serve side?
No. I am on the side of dibs and confirmation.
Confirmation of first come, first serve.
No.
You are confirming you were there first, right? You came first.
Whether you are there first to call dibs or actually sitting in the seat, yes.
But you're trying to...
They are both first come, first serve. Okay.
Yes, it is. So you're saying both dibs and first come, first serve.
But I'm saying whoever has the legitimate access to that sandwich...
See, all right.
And I'm saying that...
For as much as... I really want to be able to... Whether it's dibs or first come, first serve or whatever you want to call it, I still disagree with it. I don't think that the person that just happens mm-hmm. to walk by and get the notification as they're walking by should pick it up. I think, mm-hmm. in efforts of fairness and communication to everyone,
okay,
if dibs is established as the rule,
okay,
then you must put dibs on the Slack chat before you pick it up.
If dibs is established as the rule, I agree.
And that's what they're talking about. What do we mm-hmm. establish as the rule?
Yes.
And I think... If first come, first serve is established as the rule, then it doesn't matter. Although it'd be nice to say something like, hey, I got it.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. A nice confirmation afterwards would be fantastic. I am not for the hybrid plan. I am not about both of those because I think doing both leads to confusion. It is not... There is not a set constant in process. You mm-hmm. now have 2 processes. So, regardless of all of that, Mm-hmm. I still disagree because I think it should be a process with as very few exceptions to that process as possible. Regardless of anything else, what you've said squeaks me out as a project manager. I'm just like, nope. There are no
and this is
constant
where we're
requirements
probably,
in this process.
This is probably where we're going to be always disconnected. Because as an engineer...
I mean, everything, you know I was a programmer for a long time too, right?
I do.
I know I've done network engineering.
I do, but it is my job to know that there are always going to be exceptions.
Right.
And
there will
have,
always be exceptions.
And
you need
have
to
have a plan in place that
I just
solidifies
that,
that safety
But
valve.
Sometimes you need to have a or statement that is just a catch-all.
Yeah.
Because you cannot have
and,
every
and
situation.
Correct. But what I'm saying is that calling dibs, in the same way that calling shotgun is sacred, calling dibs should be held as sacred if that is the agreed-upon rule.
Right.
But that's
and
the,
in
but the
any
question
circumstance,
is what should be the agreed upon rule?
Dibs.
Right.
But I am saying
I have a question for you, James.
But I am saying that in any circumstance that somehow accepts or exceeds or bypasses that process in any way, that the person who decides that they have a claim to it should be notifying others so that they don't waste a trip.
That was
that is all.
But the problem is they have already left. If you're notifying people before they leave, sure, but they have already left. It is too late to tell them to stop. Because by the time you pick up the sandwich and return to your desk to say, I already picked up the sandwich, they have said dibs and stood up and walked away. It is too late to say no to them. They have already left.
In which case, I feel like that person is in the wrong because they have not satisfactorily...
Exactly!
They have not satisfactorily notified people to save them
and
a trip.
And that has never been the subject of contention.
I'm saying that the very narrow margin of exception.
The question is, which should be the process?
Yeah, I feel like the point is to establish a process that does not make space for exceptions. Exceptions can happen. But when you are implementing a process, and I might know a thing or 15 about processes from a project manager.
You have several letters attached to your name.
Mm-hmm. I do. So many letters. But you're the only times that a process should break down for an exception is in a way that is still timely and consistently communicated.
Correct.
Your way, Salsa's argument, is that it is not timely because somebody has already left their desk. Mm-hmm. So, and I honestly hate to say that I agree with Salsa. But I do
Don't worry.
Agree with Salsa.
Don't worry, nobody heard it.
Not the internet.
No.
Because it is an exception that can be prevented by not allowing that behavior in the first place as a part of the process. That's how I look at it.
Dear listeners, weigh in. should my company do a dib system or a first come first serve system or James's, I don't know, car
shotgun
hybrid?
Rules?
But it doesn't equate.
Nope, just stop.
Never
just
mind.
Stop. Salsa, stop.
No,
you're right.
Just go.
Dibs These two things
go.
Are completely dissimilar.
James, stop.
And never
exactly.
The twin shall
James, stop.
Exactly. Thank you for agreeing. Which should it be, dibs or first come first serve? and why is James wrong? That's okay. They're going to post it in Discord, and I'm not going to read it. So they can say you're right, and I will never know.
Like that episode of Judge John Hodgman.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. And James is going to go dunk his head in a bucket of ice water, because my goodness, he's steaming.
It was very intense. Right, oh my we'll God, right it was back. So intense.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hooray.
It's been, you said something like 10 years?
Like 5 years or so.
Oh.
5 or 6 years, yeah.
Yeah, that's about 10 years. I don't know.
Yeah, this is why you don't get to be in charge of time, James. Yeah. This is
yep.
Pretty much entirely it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a fast 10.
Fuck. What, did Mav write it?
Took everybody to a screeching halt on that one. I love it. I'm so happy right now. Today's Fast Five comes to us from...
Oh, I thought you were going to redo the Fast Five thing, because we didn't get to say the Fast Five.
No, I'm okay with that.
You should have called dibs.
Fast Five.
Fast Ten.
Gray Zastarar,
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 Zastarar.
It actually says that.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful. Anyway,
that's it. Yeah, it's
okay.
Music note, Zastarar, 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 ha, 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 music note, music note.
Excellent.
Hey, yeah, it's right in there.
Yeah.
Is this time sensitive before the heat death of the universe?
So yes.
Yes.
It's could coming, be any day now.
It's coming faster than you think.
That's a hell of a deadline.
I mean, our podcast is going to be going for a while yet, but I don't know about that one.
Our podcast may be responsible for the heat death of the universe.
I don't know. I've heard an awful lot of hot air tonight.
Oh,
so,
yeah. That's true. James was getting pretty steamed early.
Yeah,
opening thoughts. Okay, listen up, fuckers. I've been really injured for like 2 months and have been shirking my shit giving to you all.
That's fair.
Turns out when you are too injured to leave the house, shit gets real depressing. So as my lovely relation redacted would say, I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, there's that was a loaded statement.
Yeah,
so many different ways. Take an archaeologist to excavate all of that meaning in there. Well, let's start out. Ooh, question number. Question number one.
Dibs or shotgun?
Medusa or Cyclops?
Medusa.
Medusa.
I'm going to say I've seen a lot of Monster Girl hentai, and I think that the Medusa stuff is cuter.
I want out of this question.
I want links.
Look, I don't like where this is at, but I can recognize what needs to happen, okay?
The Medusa mythology is just so much more.
There's more to play with.
Yeah, it's better. It's the tragic backstory, the tragic front story, to be honest. Whereas
metaphors and similes, a couple of idioms.
Cyclops gets his eye stabbed out by Odysseus, and then...
Oh, I thought it was nobody.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said. Hmm. Yeah. And then lets him out with his sheep. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Medusa, they're like, okay, so here's all of this, right, all of this lore, and then they're like, okay, and the Cyclops, what's his backstory? He's big, and he's got one fucking eye.
Like, there is more backstory, but yeah. It is just kind of pretty much, he's like
a background information that doesn't matter.
He's a titan, and these are his parents, and these are, like, whereas Medusa has
And when
this
I was
tragic...
five, I had an egg salad sandwich, and it has nothing to do with what's happening over here.
Oh, so it's a me story.
Kind of.
Mm. Whereas Medusa is, like... You know,
what if that's the question?
What, are you going to tell me that Odysseus, like, wandered through 10 years of story, 20 years of story, before returning back to Ithaca? Yeah.
Whereas Medusa gets screwed by the gods, and then screwed by the gods, then killed by Theseus. It's like, there's a lot more going on there. And even after death is still responsible for others' deaths, and like it's and her head gets put on a shield, and it's just a lot more there.
Yeah, there's more story to her than there is just story that happens to happen around.
Yeah, is it Theseus?
Is it not? Did I say that wrong?
I feel like it was something.
I mean, that's
starts
how
with,
you pronounce Theseus.
Starts with a P, I think. Maybe I'm remembering incorrectly. I might
Pericles?
Be remembering.
Pericles.
No, just the one.
that's what I was hoping for.
I've been drinking. I may have fucked that up.
I don't remember, but something.
I kind of feel like James might be right on this one. That it was somebody else, but I couldn't tell you who the fuck it was.
Who killed?
Polyamory. No.
It was Perseus.
Perseus.
No,
you were
right.
Okay.
Which one was Theseus?
Theseus had the
he
ship.
Had the boat.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
He was the king with the boat.
Ship of the. Yeah, yeah. No, well, I fucked that up. I'm sorry.
He actually had two boats, but.
No, it's all the same boat.
I'm
calling dibs on one of them.
No, thank you. Thank you for. Calling me out on that.
I had posted to Facebook about ship me with a fictional character meme that was going around. And somebody said Theseus. And I was like, well fucking played.
That's delightful.
Well goddamn played.
That is delightful.
I got... Nope, that's just the best answer.
Yep. Speaking of answers, question number two.
Mm.
Sharp or flat? I like sharp things.
If we're talking about music, which we don't have to be.
Okay.
That might not be the context, but it's a possible context.
Mm.
If you go to karaoke and somebody is singing off, would it bother you more if they were sharp? Or flat?
Absolutely flat. Absolutely.
Really?
100%. Oh, yeah.
I think sharp bothers me.
Really?
More.
No, flat. Just. Bleh. Sharp means you're at least trying. Flat is just.
You know, it's a half step in either direction.
I was going to say, Jenna, you know more about music than I do, but aren't sharps also flats?
I mean, yeah. But then it's... Okay, so.
If people are off, they tend to fall, they tend to drop down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People don't push up to the note, generally.
Mm.
And my mother was a music teacher. Yes, I know what fucking talking about. People tend to not get up to the note.
Okay. Right, so if somebody is singing sharp, though, my frustration is it's because they're pushing too hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they're louder. And possibly more shrill?
Possibly.
Ooh, that's a good call.
That's the part that I'm not... I've done a lot of karaoke in my life, and, because also I think a lot of people that can't hear tones very well tend towards flat.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just more likely to be forgiving for that.
Yeah. I can see where you're going with that.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true. But, yeah, I guess, yeah, I'm a little bit more forgiving on somebody that can't quite get there as opposed to somebody that's hurting me with their attempts to do so.
If you were to accidentally cut yourself.
Mm. That's sharp never happened to me before.
Would you rather it be like a sharp, unfinished corner of something? Or would you rather it be like a paper cut where it's, you know, something flat that you're shuffling or whatever, a shallow cut?
See, to me, a paper cut. Yeah, I don't know if I'm
following your logic on that one.
Okay.
I mean, I prefer battle axes to war hammers.
All right.
I prefer war hammers, but. Oh, I guess it's got a flat side, a flat face to it. So, yeah I would choose that, yeah.
Bludgeoning as opposed to slicing.
Or like offhand, shield or dagger.
Oh, I like that.
That is a really good question. Offhand, probably dagger.
Hmm.
Point the first. Generally, an offhand shield might be the big guys, and I'm not about that. I feel slowed down.
Or just a buckler
most
is
of what I can do. A buckler's okay, but then I feel like it's not doing a lot. You can still, you know, punch at things with a buckler, but like, I feel like a dagger is just more versatile.
I've always been partial to Florentine myself.
The pasta with spinach?
Two blades. Two full
two
length.
Two blades.
Not a dagger, but a second sword.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like sharp things. What can I say?
Unless you studied the Capoeira.
Which I have.
Actually, I think Capoeira was one of the earlier ones that I studied.
Shit. I think. Oh, fuck. Question number three. Taco or sandwich? What is a hot dog?
A hot dog's not
I've
a sandwich.
I've got a feeling he just threw a knife in the middle of the
they.
Ring.
Gray.
They, but
gray.
Yes.
Sorry, yes, yeah. They, sorry.
Gray. Daddy and Daddy were already fighting once this episode. I don't
You're
feel comfortable
parking,
with this.
It's fine.
I
a hot dog is not a fucking sandwich.
My favorite answer to this was one Raiderly gave a while back and asked if a hot dog was a taco or a sandwich. She was like, well, it's not a taco, you appropriating fucks.
That's pretty great. Yeah.
Which... Now I kind of feel like I have to go sandwich because she hit me right in the white woman guilt. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sandwich.
Still taco.
See, honestly, most of the time, because I load it up with enough stuff that the bottom bit of bread tears anyway... And now it's not encompassed on three sides. It's only encompassed on the top and bottom.
It's not the encompassing on three sides for me that makes it not a sandwich.
Because, like, Subway.
Right. It's not... Or, like, a Philly cheesesteak is a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So what makes it a taco to you?
Because it's not a fucking sandwich. Because I refuse that it's a sandwich.
How is a hot dog different than a Philly cheesesteak, except it's a single piece of meat as opposed to thin-sliced meat? It's identical in form, shape, function.
Because a hot dog can be eaten separately.
So can slices of roast beef.
But then that's a different thing. That's not a... Philly
but that's what
roast
you just said about a hot dog.
A hot dog is a hot dog whether it's in a bun or not.
And sliced roast beef is sliced roast beef. I don't see where but the distinction he's making.
I'm not being getting in the middle of this one. I'm not,
it stops being
care.
A Philly steak when it's not a sandwich.
No, it's a deconstructed Philly cheesesteak.
Okay, then it's a deconstructed Philly cheesesteak.
That's what, and then they charge you $40 for it.
And a hot dog on a plate is a deconstructed taco.
What?
So if I have a hot dog and I pinch the edges of the open part of the bun together, so now that it's all the way around, do I have beef Wellington?
It's a pierogi.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say it was a pig in a blanket, but...
Oh, no, that's actually the correct answer.
That is actually pretty true, yeah.
Fuck you, it's a taco.
Is a pig in a blanket a beef Wellington?
It's a burrito.
God damn it.
Question number four. Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Sweet.
I do love a savory pie.
Yeah, same.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
I'll have another helping of dinner.
Toot sweet.
I made a galette yesterday.
What's a galette?
It's got four blades with a soothing
strip. See, that is exactly where my brain went.
That keeps you from getting razor burn.
I wasn't going to say it. I kind of don't care that you did or not.
I'm sorry. He's the magician that works with the silent guy.
Okay. Fuck.
It's a mermaid, but very small.
Oh, no. Anyway,
done?
What was a galette again? From Salsa, not from James. What was it? I missed it because James distracted me.
Oh, it's a type of pie.
Type of pie. But what's in it?
Hot dogs.
Much like many pies, it's not so much what it is in it as the form. It is not in a pan. It is a flat pie.
Like a pizza pie?
Kind of.
Like a calzone?
So the edges are curled up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just the edges.
Okay.
So like you take a square or a rectangle of the crust. Put the fillings in, but like leave an inch all the way around, and then you just fold up that side over on top of itself.
But then the center is wide open?
The center is open. Oh. Yeah. Google it. You'll figure it out really quick.
All right.
It's a different type of pie.
All right.
But I made a chicken and mushroom galette the other day, and it was.
Oh, so that does sound good.
It was really fucking good. So.
All right.
It's definitely savory pies.
Sweet.
All right. Question number five. Kitchen or bedroom?
I mean, I'll do it wherever.
Yeah, no, I was just about to say, your bedroom is where you go when you're just like, okay, let's do this. Kitchen is where you're kinky.
I mean, I'm getting too old for the kitchen, frankly.
I have kids.
You're worried
so
the children
when we
are
going to
push
chance,
you into the oven?
It's like, yeah.
And wherever you're at, you just fucking drop, trow, and go.
Mm-hmm. Like, if we can get away with it in the kitchen, it's a treat.
Well, it's tough but fair. Having been a bachelor for some small amount of time, where I am more likely to slovenly gorge myself on fast food or on, you know, whatever leftovers are in the fridge, something like that, instead of eating over the sink in the kitchen, I'll put it on a tray and eat it while I watch television in my bedroom.
Oh, God, no. Don't bring food into the bedroom.
Thank you.
I think that's the question. I'll eat in a bedroom.
No,
I'm not shy about it.
No, don't eat it.
I don't even eat on the second floor of my building.
So,
yeah.
Like, on like Father's Day or something like that, or my birthday, like the kids will do that. We're going to do breakfast in bed and it's going to be great. And it's just like, yay, I will do this because it makes you happy. And then I am going to finish this in the kitchen.
Right.
Because I don't want to eat in the bedroom. That you get crumbs and then like that's,
yeah, I don't
how,
want
that, that's
the
how
bed.
You get ants and
mice is actually my big thing.
I didn't
want to
say it.
Yeah,
wasn't
no.
going to say it out loud.
No,
but,
no, that's I will 100%
food
be
doesn't
like,
belong in the bedroom.
Food should generally stay in a specific area. There are exceptions to that when you're sick.
Yeah,
because having soup in bed is a time honored tradition.
Usually, when I'm sick, though, I'm going to be on the couch downstairs.
Yeah. But there are exceptions for like
sure.
if you're
no,
sick
no, no. I'm accepting
recovering from an injury or something like that. Like the bed is the place to be for that. Mm-hmm. So that's where you take your nourishment. But yeah. like other than that, no, absolutely not. I do not like it. It wigs me out a little bit.
Sam, I am.
That's actually okay. So with Joe moving in,
do not like green eggs and ham in the bedroom.
In the bedroom, I'll try them anywhere else.
This is suddenly a very different Dr. Seuss.
No, Joe and I had the conversation with him moving in where I was like, no food on the second floor. He's like, correct. I'm like, no drinks on the second floor, and he's like, maybe.
Glass of water next to the bed?
Glass of water next to okay. the bed is fine, although we both have bedside water bottles, so...
Yeah, that's what we have. Yeah. It's not a glass, it's a bottle.
Because then, like, stuff doesn't... Yeah,
yeah, if it
falls,
gets knocked over,
it's not
yeah.
an issue.
No,
and, yeah.
But
no, bedside water
a
bottle.
Drink for of water for...
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Water is absolutely
cool.
fine.
Cool, cool, cool.
Anywhere in the house, because
anything
it's fucking
else.
Water.
Yeah, no, anything else. You can spill a beer or... Mm-hmm. coffee or something on your sheets or something. No, ugh. That's... Ugh,
nope.
Nobody wants
then
to deal
I
with that.
Then I change the sheets.
But then the question
yeah.
became...
And then you have to deal with that.
I just that's, changed those
just,
sheets.
Yeah.
That's
now the sheets
for...
are being changed
it's actually
out
very,
of rotation.
Like, out of rotation. It's not on a Thursday. What the fuck, James?
That's what I get
sheets
for
get
spilling a beer.
Sheets get changed every Thursday.
And then I wash the sheets that I fucked up.
But then when are you going to change the sheets next?
The next time that it comes up for
but
rotation.
Now, but now they're out of cycle.
Right, like, so if you spill on a Tuesday,
yeah.
you just change the sheets, but now it's Thursday again. Are you going to change the sheets again so that you're back on rotation? Are you going to
yeah.
skip that Thursday?
No.
You're not going to skip that
what?
Thursday. Okay. I can appreciate that answer. But it just, now you've done double duty where it doesn't, no.
Or nope. you could have just drunk your fucking coffee in the kitchen.
Right.
Look, I could do a lot of things.
Or the living
things.
Room
or
the
living,
dining room.
I could do a lot of
not
things,
in the living
but
room.
I own that house
not
now.
Not in the living
no,
room.
No, we don't have food in the living room.
Oh, coffee.
The exception to the living room is if we're having pizza or Chinese food, we will put a blanket down in the middle of the floor.
Okay.
And that is where the food is consumed. Not
I
on
also,
the couches.
I also
not
don't
on
have
the fucking couches. Do not spill food on my couch.
Children. I have no
yeah,
children.
There is that. Although I will say, like, because I do
that's
eat.
That's not just the kids, though. That's just us.
Yeah.
Like, and don't put food on our couch.
No, I understand where you're coming from. I do eat on the couch. Mm-hmm. Usually because I'm working and trying to get lunch down
same.
While I'm working.
Yeah.
If, because oftentimes I will work in the solarium, but, but if it's lunchtime and I have to continue working, I will go down to the living room, and have food in the living room while I'm eating on the couch. But, I understand, because when I do clean the couch, which is frequently enough, it's there's crumbs and shit, and it's not, like, it's not awful, like, because I don't have kids, but it's still like, oh.
Yeah, some people don't eat in their cars for the same reason.
Yeah.
Some people don't eat in their cars for the same reason.
It's true. James is correct on this one.
I wish... I had the confidence.
Oscar Mayer Wiener?
I wish I had the
Taco.
Confidence of a person who eats a hard shell taco while driving.
I've done it.
Only if it's got the wrap around it, so that you've only got the little bit poking out.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I wish I had the confidence of my wife, who will take her hard shell taco
completely out of the wrapper
and just crunch on it while she's driving. And I'm like, how do you do that?
I couldn't do it out of the wrapper, but if it's in a wrapper, like a Taco Bell, the way Taco Bell wraps
it
properly.
She just crunches down on it.
I would be scared of losing my lettuce.
Just fucking...
For me, it's not the lettuce, it's the shredded cheese.
Oh, see, I don't have cheese on mine, so
that's, saves you a lot of trouble.
I don't worry about the cheese on my taco. There is no cheese on my taco.
You take one bite, the whole thing dissolves, just disintegrates, and then she just keeps eating it and keeps driving. And I was like, how?
I do that frequently. But,
I have enough trouble eating a hard shell taco sitting still.
This was a kind of a reflex thing. In the first two apartments that I lived in, I didn't eat in my bedroom.
Okay.
And in my bedroom, I would have water, or I might have a beer, something like that. But I didn't really drink stuff in my bedroom. But especially as a younger sibling, if I had snacks that I had bought with my own allowance, or that had been given to me, that
were
mine,
legal property.
You had your stash.
I hid them in my room and I ate them in my room.
Okay, I feel like that's a different beast, though.
Kind of.
In my,
I am following you, though.
My third or fourth apartment, something like that, where I lived with a bunch of bachelors. And the kitchen was constantly burning, just on fire, constantly. I just didn't... I would either eat in the living room if something was going on, or I would eat in my bedroom while watching something, or doing homework. And that's... I mean...
Sure.
That's what I did. If you have roommates that you don't want to spend every hour of the day with...
The thing is communal living is a different beast.
It got me in the habit of feeling comfortable.
Where your bedroom is the house for you. The bedroom is your kitchen. And it is your...
In many of my apartments, the furniture out in the living room was not mine. The dining set was not mine. The kitchen was...
Whether it was mine or not, it would just get dirty. It would just get shabby and gross.
I got used to, like, I bring my dinner home, I go into my bedroom, or I make something in the kitchen quickly, and then I bring it into my room, I unpause the movie.
See, I didn't really have a TV in my bedroom until I married Raiderly. It was just never a thing that I did.
Yeah, I've never been a TV in the bedroom person.
This is probably another big difference.
It's probably a contributing factor.
Because...
But I still... I think one of the reasons why I never really had a TV in my bedroom is because I don't eat in my bedroom.
Sure.
Well, I mean...
But, I mean, why?
TVs cost money, and I'm only going to buy one.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in the living room.
Well,
so.
I had a little tiny tube TV for most of my life because...
See, if I had a little tiny tube TV, I would have sold it for food.
There were days...
That you would not eat in the bed.
That I would not eat in the bed, yeah.
There were days. But, no, I just have had a computer and probably a TV screen in my room most of my life.
A second TV has always been an extraneous expense that I had never needed.
Right, but the first TV didn't belong to me in most places.
Sure.
And so I had one TV.
If I had one that I didn't belong to me, I wouldn't have a TV of my own. It just wasn't. Anyway, so I'm going to say kitchen.
I'm also going to say kitchen.
Bedroom.
All right. We're going to open up the context and find out. It says Medusa or Cyclops. Which, ooh. All right. Which Marvel Comics character more deserves a solo adventure movie?
Mm.
Medusa, Queen of the Inhumans, or okay. Cyclops, team leader of the X-Men? Did anybody see Inhumans, by the way?
I haven't yet.
Please don't. It's fucking terrible.
Hmm. I feel
fucking god awful.
But I don't remember it.
Well, I remember the four that had Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
Yeah, that Defenders.
That was awful. What was
Defenders is way better than Inhumans.
What was the general story of Inhumans?
Yes. Inhumans is...
Was that the kids?
No, they are... they live on the moon, and they are superhero aliens. Yeah, it's...
Mm. All right.
It's not good. Mm. Black Bolt is the leader of that group, and Medusa is his wife. If I have this right, I'm pretty sure I have this right. Mm. But I also fucked up Theseus and Perseus earlier, so God knows where my brain is today.
Mm.
I will be honest, I don't know a lot about the comics Medusa. All I really know about her is the treatment that she got in the Inhumans TV show, and it was atrocious, and I never want to see more of that.
Yeah.
She did.
Would you like to see her have a better reboot?
I don't know if she's interesting enough.
In Marvel specifically.
Specifically in Marvel. What is her superpower again?
Is it turning people to stone, probably?
No, it's not, actually.
Weird. Who the fuck does that? Okay, anyway.
She's just really good with snakes.
Well. I can see that as a
It's a very cute superpower.
She has prehensile hair.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. All right.
Well, now I'm just picturing She-Ra reboot. And I'm delighted all over. I need to rewatch
Hang on a second. You're going to tell me that there's a superhero named Batman, and there's a superhero named Daredevil, and one of them has a shit ton of gadgets and leaps off of buildings, and the other one can see using echolocation, and they're not the ones you think?
That's pretty good.
Honestly, they're both kind of shit as solos. I think that's where he was going with this, is which is less shit as a solo.
Like... I don't know. Any story can be told well. You may have to introduce more and better elements to do so.
Yeah. Captain Marvel style.
I'm actually going to go with Medusa now that I think about it. The prehensile hair, I think, could be...
There's a lot of fun
things you could do with that, whereas Cyclops can shoot beams out of his eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's...
I know of no other superheroes that can do that.
That's it.
Yeah.
He gets in a scrape and he shoots beams out of his face.
The travesty of accidentally discovering that as a gifted teen, every other X-Men story.
Also, he's wearing rose-colored glasses and has to remove them with his hands in order to shoot the beam from his eyes. And he can't control it, so he has to... No, Medusa would be a way better solo character, I think. Neither one of them I would watch, but I would be a better story.
I mean, I feel like a good movie could be made with Medusa, where Scott Summers is kind of a Boy Scout, and as kind of a Boy Scout myself, like
I mean, so
I mean,
is,
Captain America
so
did
is
very
Superman,
poorly, so.
And so is Captain America. Like,
I feel like they have a depth of character that Cyclops does not.
I disagree. I feel like the reason he is the leader of the X-Men is because he does have those leadership qualities. But that is the problem with a solo group, is part of Cyclops's whole thing is being a leader.
Right. It's like having Leonardo by himself.
The turtle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Leonardo would still kick ass by himself, more than Scott Summers would.
Yeah, agreed. Okay,
it's his skill as a leader that really is where the Cyclops
defines
really
him.
Shines.
It's kind of like an identity thing for him, as opposed to just a thing he also does.
Yeah, yeah. I would say Medusa.
All right.
Question number two, sharp or flat? Ooh, which is... Gray.
Witches.
Which is the more important part of a bladed instrument? The sharp edge for cutting, or the flay length to provide structure? It all... You need it all.
You really do.
You can't have one with...
I mean, I will say if the rest of... You can always sharpen something. So if we're just talking about it being in existence, if you have a sharp blade that isn't stable, then that's unhelpful. But if you have a stable blade that's dull, you can just fucking sharpen it.
I feel like he's asking...
They.
Thank you. Yep. I feel like they're asking which leg of the St. Louis Arch keeps it from falling down? Like...
The left one.
No matter which one you remove...
I was going to say.
It's going to fall down. End of story.
Need both. Sword dullness is easier to fix. So I guess I'm just going to go with that.
I mean, you could still do bludgeoning damage with a dull sword, I guess. Yeah. But...
Hmm.
I just you need both. This is.
I mean, I agree with what.
Not happy right now.
Right.
I'm gonna drink.
Okay.
Barkeep, another one.
And James goes to make another.
All right.
I'm gonna go flat.
I'm gonna say flat
because you can still do bludgeoning damage with a sharp.
Salsa. The swords that you swallow.
Yes.
Yes.
Do they have a flat part?
Yes.
Do they have a sharp part?
Yes.
Is it sharp?
Yes.
Okay.
Question number three.
All right.
I don't know either.
I don't know what's happening. I'm confused.
Taco or sandwich? If you take one piece of bread and add sandwich toppings and fold it in half, have you made a sandwich or is it more akin to a hot dog or taco?
It's a sandwich.
Yeah, bread, filling, sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
Correct.
Yeah. I love how that's the part that we're all just like, fucking what? That's like a sandwich. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Pita is...
Yeah, pita's
a single piece of bread wrapped around a fucking filling. Yeah.
I pita'd a fool. Sweet or savory?
God damn it.
When using cream cheese in a dish, do you opt for a savory dish, like a creamy dip, or a sweet dish, like a cheesecake?
Not that I use cream cheese for anything anymore. But I both?
Both.
Yeah, both.
Savory.
I there are a few savory things that, you know, I like a good cream cheese on a bagel.
With lox.
Cream
lox.
Cheese on a bagel.
Yep.
I use like cream cheese in quiches a lot.
Ooh, yeah.
I used to make tiramisu.
But I used to, too.
No, I used to make tiramisu. And when you can't get a hold of mascarpone.
I also make wontons.
So you get both.
Yeah?
Both.
All of the above.
I like a cheesecake. I like a key lime pie. But as far as things that I'm going to make, I'm going to eat that cream cheese before it ever makes it to a baked good.
I'm just going to take a bite out of it. Yeah. I don't know.
It's like a fucking chocolate bar.
I have thought about it. I have definitely taken a hank off of a corner or a side and just fucking eaten it.
I was... probably a teenager, and at one point I was just...
Oh, I'll bet you were.
No, hold on.
At some point.
I was just like, butter is fucking delicious. Mm. And at one point I was just like, I wonder. And I took a stick of butter and I just took a bite off of it. And I was like, nope. Nope, not butter is delicious, but not just taking a bite. I tried it. Don't do it.
I used to do that, but I kept doing that because it was delicious salted butter, and it was, like,
it
rich.
It was, too, like, I again, then butter...
What cured me of it was margarine. My parents started buying margarine.
Do you think they did that to prevent you from chomping on the butter?
I grew up margarine, so that might have been why.
Well, because I would just take the butter knife next to the dish, and I would just take a little, like, boop, and pop it into my hand, and then eat that.
Oh, I took a big fucking bite out of the stick.
Mm.
But it was margarine.
And then put it back, like, trying to pretend like he hadn't.
Margarine is...
Can't eat at everybody's house.
By the way, side note. listen to Stuff You Missed in History Class's episode on butter and margarine, because it is
fascinating.
Really fucking
good. Oh my god! Yeah. Like, I haven't heard the episode,
Pink margarine?
But I know.
Yep.
Holy shit!
I know some of the background on it without hearing it, and it's oh my god!
It's
fucking fascinating.
Anyway, I would go savory actually on this one. Yeah, I'd do both, but yep. Kitchen or bedroom?
Brown chicken, brown cow.
If you had eight arms like an octopus, would you probably use them for cooking and cleaning? Or sex stuff?
Sex stuff.
Yes?
Or, for Jenna, those are the same thing.
They are. I'm very confused by this question. One of the sexiest things Joe does is the dishes. Are you fucking kidding me? And I'm not making that up.
Or
the way his shoulders move while he's doing dishes.
Failing that context, because that's a little too weird even for me. It's not weird at all. Where is lighting more important to set the mood?
The mood?
The kitchen. I don't care what the lighting is in the bedroom, but I need good lighting in a kitchen.
Yeah, what mood are you trying to create in the kitchen,
good
though?
Lighting in the kitchen so that I can see what the fuck I'm working on. Like, under cabinet
that's
lighting.
That's the mood right there.
That is a mood, but mood lighting? Bedroom. I want lights that change color. I want to be able to lower them.
Give a shit.
I kind of don't care either.
The lights in the bedroom are either on or off.
Ugh. How do you eat in there?
Oh my god. Oh my god, no.
If you don't know how to eat in the bedroom, James, then I pity your wife.
I don't have one. I have a spouse.
Fair.
Pity them instead.
Oh, I pity your spouse if you don't know how to eat in the bed.
Oh.
If you're picking up what I'm laying down.
I'm trying not to.
I think
you're
picking it up.
Honestly.
Oh, I was talking about cunnilingus.
Oh, see, yeah, that's what I was trying not to hear.
Oh. Okay, but I was saying it pretty clearly.
I am aware.
Yeah, you know, cunnilingus.
Yeah, it made it harder for me to not hear it.
No, you're thinking about fellatio.
No.
No, if it's hard, that's you know, I'm talking about cunnilingus.
Oh, okay, see, pretty sure I didn't want to hear about any of that from you.
You mean fellatio or cunnilingus?
Both.
Oh, okay. But that's what I was talking about.
I am aware that that is what you were talking about.
I was
about.
Telling James
that
cunnilingus is important.
Well, this is probably the 69th time that you've described
it. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, you know what, James, for that one?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well done.
All right.
No, I like that one. Yeah, I need to see what I'm cooking.
Yeah, I think having appropriate lighting in the kitchen is more important.
Hmm.
Because honestly, like, if I want to have sex, I'm going to have sex, and I don't need to see. In fact, sometimes it's nice to be blindfolded.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Most of us have banged in a fest tent, So, yeah, lighting is not the most important feature.
Yeah. But
when it comes to sleep and comfort in a bedroom, I do want special lighting.
I want no lighting.
Same.
I did set up a routine once when I first got my smart home stuff for sexy time. And
like cunnilingus?
It changed.
No, like fellatio.
Oh, okay.
It changed the lighting and started playing like Barry White.
Let's get it on.
Yep. Ooh. Exactly. I'm sure I talked about this before, but Jessa had also set a routine that was, hey, Google, play those assholes. And my Google would respond with, okay, playing the latest episode of Apropos of Nothing podcast. Yeah.
That's really good.
Because my daughter is a smartass.
Yep. I can tell you.
And I'm very proud.
If the lighting in the kitchen is not good, the mood will be angry.
That's
true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
For me, especially when I had more guests who were unfamiliar with the layout of my room, having low red lights that would not keep me awake. Or just,
like in a dark room?
Yes. Yeah. Because I can sleep through that, but it still provides path lights for, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't know the layout of the room.
You can just turn the lights on if I'm asleep.
Yeah, that'll wake me the fuck up.
Once I am out, I'm pretty much out. But it is harder for me to wake up without light.
That too.
Interesting.
I set another routine that I call the sunrise routine, where the light turns on at a certain set time that I, about a half an hour before I need to be up.
Yeah.
Because then when I go to wake up, there's light and it's easier for me.
Yeah. I started doing that, because Jack's,
do you have birds chirping in the,
yes, actually I do. Not that way. Just like nature sounds, bird chirping. That gets, it goes from like 1% to 5%, but yeah, I do actually have bird nature noises that start. I'm very bad at waking up in the wintertime, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for me, especially,
I mean, dimming the light in the room. I feel like you would hibernate if you could.
Yeah.
I would if I could.
Yeah.
Dimming the lights in my bedroom and making them amber and then red over a period of time helps me to get to sleep. And then they turn off when I'm ready to go to bed. But it helps me to feel tired at a specific time. And then getting up in the morning.
I don't think we're talking about tired. We're talking about mood lighting. And honestly, my wife is really hot, and I want the lights to be where I can see her.
Naked girlfriend.
Naked wife.
Well, for you, but that wasn't the story I told earlier.
No, I know. I know.
That's called a callback?
I'm adapting.
It's called a callback.
Thank you.
I took your callback.
Thank you for educating him.
Yeah, I've been trying for years. Yeah.
She just Jen-esplained me.
I'm glad someone did.
So honestly, the best mood light.
If someone was going to Jen-esplain to him, I'm glad it was you.
That's fair.
It would be weird if James Jen-esplained to me.
I want to see him try, though.
James?
I have a spreadsheet. Hold on.
That was actually
that was really good.
Actually,
real fucking good.
Yeah, best mood lighting is bright enough that I can. So, hold on, no. So years ago, when Raiderly and I were still dating, we lived in this apartment, and there was one night where it was. All the lights were out, and the only light was coming through the window, which was like one of those like shoulder height. What are those called? Piano windows, or?
Oh yeah, yep, piano window.
But like that's all it was. And I crawl into bed, and Rayleigh goes, "You look really sexy in this light." And I was like, "In the dark? What? That's where I'm sexy to you when you can't see me?"
I was in somebody's darkened room. I was with a partner in a darkened room, and I was like, "You look great," and she was like, "Do I?" And then I was like, "Do you want me to prove it?" I have very good low light vision, and she did look great.
No, I'm sure I knew what she meant, but it was just funny because it was like, it's dark. What are you talking about?
And then Raider Lee's like, you know what would make you look even? Let's lower the shades here. Let's put a pillow under the door. There's still light coming in from the hallway. We gotta. Is there a?
Anyway,
that charger that's illuminating the room.
That's now a joke in our marriage. Is every so often, like at night when it's dark in our bedroom, we'll be like, "You look really good in this light."
That's adorable.
I mean, I agree with her. You do look better in the dark.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five,
and please do,
go to aonpodcast.com, click on submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. Click submit, you're done. That's it.
Yay.
Your part in this is done. Now it's up to us to entertain you for, or not or
whatever
entertain
this
you,
is.
Whatever the fuck this is. Does anybody have a shout out?
I do. Shout out to Josh, the booth owner, for setting us up at a bunch of different other festivals and places where we can do this great thing all summer and do good work and raise money for good causes. And yeah,
awesome.
I'm gonna give a shout out to Amy for getting rid of my mom's shit.
Yay!
That's it. I mean, she pulled it. She actually has somebody that's doing a craft trade thing. Basically just was like, I have somebody, I'm taking it. We squeezed it all into her car, which was a feat, but accomplished. I'm so thankful to have that fifth of my basement back. It's going to come in real handy when I have to fill it with Joe's stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be much better.
I am going to give my shout out to the solstice. Because now that the solstice is here, that means we're slowly getting closer to winter
again. Hell yes.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do. 15th of July, there will be a Ville show. It is the summer blockbuster, or cock blockbuster show.
I get it.
Vilification Tennis.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
No, I don't get cop laugh very often.
So, I will be in that, and I'm deeply excited about it. I look forward to seeing people there.
I also have things to plug, but my phone's being stupid. This Convergence. I will be involved with two separate things. Oh, now it's not loading at all. Oh, there it is. Okay, the first one is Friday at 5:30 p.m., in Wordslinger's Way, Hyatt 4 at Boundary Waters, D, Glasses and Spectacles. It is, I'm going to read it, one part storytelling, one part panel, one part challenge show. Artists are tasked to perform while doing something else at the same time. Can they tell a story while standing on one leg, drawing a picture, solving an algebra equation? Participants include Garrick Dietz.
Ooh.
Catherine Hansen. Hey. Rob Holiday.
I know that guy.
And Cole Serrar.
Ooh.
And I'm very excited because these people are all going to have a fantastic time. The winner of that, by the way, gets to tell a story without challenges.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, I lost my battery.
Oh, Jenna just rolled a one on technology.
There we go.
Fuck. The other one that I am participating in, it is a panel. I believe it is Saturday at 8:30, but you can look up the panel. It is about producing a one-person show. Mm-hmm. I will be doing that with... Who am I doing that with? That was the part that I wanted to look
Nobody.
Up.
Nobody. That's the whole thing.
I was about to say, shouldn't you be doing this by yourself?
Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe is going to be moderating.
Mm-hmm.
I will be there. Scott Kiever is on that panel. Oh, shit.
Last week, did you say Ariel? Or am I making that up?
No, I think you're right. I think Ariel, and then I think there was another person I didn't know. So, or at least recognize the name of. Maybe we're like
more information in
besties
Discord.
When I can look at a face.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm going to be participating in that panel, and we're going to be talking about a lot of the things we've already kind of discussed is what is our individual processes for going into a one-person show? When do you ask for help with your one-person show? Because a one-person show is never just the one person, except for the one time it was. Anyway, it's rarely just one person, even if it's just one performer. So, having ideas, how do you get started, what are the things to look for, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a great panel. If you've ever wanted to produce a one-person show of any performance type, really, or you want to have a better appreciation of what the fuck it is that we do, because there is so much more that happens that you just don't even know about. Come show up to the panel. I think it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, there's a 10-year waiting list to get in, but...
Oh, fuck you. But yeah, and I don't remember which room that's being held in. It might be in Wordslingers as well.
Check your schedule.
Yeah, check your con sketch.
What?
Con
it sounds
sketch.
So filthy.
Check your
you
sketch. What? You don't have a sketch, James?
Sounds sketchy.
Oh God. No.
I have to say that. The pun is better than the shortened word.
You know, like sketch?
Why is she here?
Look, you invited her. This is entirely on you.
Look, yes,
you
I
had
know.
Every opportunity.
I had every opportunity.
You, you had her on for a series of several episodes. You found out that she's smarter than you. You still brought her in.
Yes, I know that. I'm fully aware of that fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could be
so
spending
anyway, I
want to
thank everybody for being here for my podcast. Thank you to special guests Salsa and James.
Aw, thanks.
I have been your host and owner, Jenna. Does anybody have anything else left to say?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye,
no.
Bye.
All right. In that case, so long and eat the fucking cake. Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.